Next case on calendar today is the Republican Attorneys General Association versus Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, case number 77511. Ms. McCarty, you ready to go?
Yes, Justice.
Okay.
I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, if it please the court.
Sure, of course.
Good afternoon. My name is Colleen McCarty. I represent the Republican Attorney General's Association.
Forgive me. You might want to lift the mic a bit.
Am I too tall?
It's okay. Thank you.
Justices, this is a case about a public record created in a public place involving a public official's interactions with law enforcement. I'm prepared to address all of the issues presented, but may it please the court, if there's a particular area that you would like me to begin, I'm happy to do so.
I have a question. I want you to address this in the context of 62H, because it's not just footage about a public official. It's about a juvenile arrest, which seems to fall directly under the ambit of 62H. So that's at least a framework I'd like to view this through.
Yes. There was a total of 6 hours of body camera video taken of this incident. Metro Police Department provided to Judge Early 2 hours that involved solely interactions between law enforcement and General Ford. It is difficult for me to fathom that the entirety of those 2 hours is somehow all juvenile-related. I'm at a disadvantage. I'm the only person in this room who has not seen the video. You have seen it. My opposing counsel has seen it. I have not. 62H was created to expand the ability of the juvenile justice system to provide records in furtherance of helping children. 62H was not intended to protect the conduct of an adult, particularly an elected official, in that particular context. When we talk about why do we keep juvenile justice information confidential, it is to prevent children from being labeled criminals, to allow kids the opportunity to rehabilitate themselves and not have these mistakes follow them for the rest of their lives. We have no argument with that. Our issue is this is an interaction involving an adult, involving a public official, and if 62H is allowed to be utilized and bootstrapped in that way, we are only protecting the conduct of an adult public official. And what greater public interest is there in how public officials behave?
Let me ask you, for what purpose did Judge Early take it in camera and review it? And she said, I'm going to look at it. What was she looking for? And what did she tell you that she was looking for?
To be honest, it is unclear. We argued below, and we also brought a writ before this court, that we should have an attorney's eyes only viewing of this pursuant to Gibbons so that there would be adequate adversarial testing. Judge Early did not agree with our argument and felt that it was her province to view the video to determine whether or not it was juvenile justice information pursuant to the statute. It is, again, our belief that there are portions of this video that simply do not involve juveniles. And the remedy here should have been, and no analysis was ever done, that information be redacted. Redact the identities of the juveniles. We're not interested in the identities of the juveniles, but that analysis was not done. Judge Early did not view this video, in our opinion, in that context, as how do I go about releasing this, which is what the Public Records Act requires. Instead, she viewed the video as to whether or not it was a juvenile incident, and we don't believe that's the correct analysis.
Well, additionally, it kind of gets to the interpretation of the 62H025 provision. I mean, what's its breadth? I appreciate your argument about the starting point of the analysis for a public records request. The courts should approach that initially, believing that it should be public unless there is a confidentiality statute or some other basis for maintaining the record confidential, which is generally to be construed narrowly or limited. So the confidentiality declaration here is the statute that Justice Stiglitz was inquiring about. So that statute refers to juvenile justice information. That language it seems to be fairly broad. Now, I appreciate the fact that you don't have the benefit of the viewing of the tape, and maybe one should look at that question as you had requested. But let's assume for the moment that all of the body cam information, all it showed was juveniles throughout. It identified whatever juveniles were involved in the whole thing. Or it showed cops arresting juveniles or cuffing them or putting them in police cars or whatever the case may be in their interaction with juveniles. And that as also part of that, the Attorney General may have been depicted or other parents. How do you suggest the court address the term or phrase juvenile justice information? Because it seems to suggest that anything involved in this that could fit within that category wouldn't have to be produced.
Juvenile justice information is very broad, we agree.
Yeah.
The issue, we believe, is that not only Metro has alleged that 62H applies because it's an express statute, our argument also is that 289.030 applies because it is also an express statute, and it expressly provides that body camera video is a public record. The remedy again then becomes, if we have statutes that are in conflict, it is incumbent upon the court to try to harmonize them. How do you go about doing that? In this case, the way to harmonize them is to allow credence for both. Redact the juveniles, redact their identities, give them the opportunity to have the confidentiality that is the cornerstone of the juvenile justice system, but do not protect an adult.
I'm sorry for interrupting you. Did you want to add anything before I ask this next question?
I am here for you.
The concern I had is that the body cam statute seems to be itself in conflict with the open records statute, because the Open Records Act statute says everything's open except, and then it's got a whole enumeration of statutes that declare confidential information that includes this juvenile statute. So what we're really reconciling is a body cam statute whose language seems to suggest disclosure against the Open Records Act statute that seems to say yes, but not in this instance. How would you suggest this panel reconcile those three statutes?
The body camera video, you may also notice, is listed in the lengthy list of statutes.
Yeah.
It is our position that these statutes, some of them provide that the entirety of certain information is confidential. Some of them provide that certain portions of information is confidential and other portions are not. If you look at the body camera statute, the Metro officers are permitted, pursuant to the statute and pursuant to their own policies, to avoid filming when you're in a private residence, when you are dealing with a victim. And there is a third as well. Forgive me. But those, and when someone is seeking to report a crime anonymously, those are the three opportunities for Metro officers to use their discretion to protect someone's privacy. So it is our position that other than those three opportunities, this statute is quite clear. It is a public record. And in the event that there is confidential information that cannot be redacted, and again, we suggest that it absolutely can be redacted in this case. You've seen the ability of Metro to redact video in large scale with respect to the October 1st shootings. In the event it can be redacted, it must be redacted. The body camera statute says it. The NPRA says it at 239.0113. That is the remedy here, not a wholesale broadening of the juvenile justice statute that negates the NPRA. I also did want to touch upon the issue of waiver. I know this court has looked at it several times, but has not acted at this point. And we believe that this case gives you the opportunity to do so. Metro had four opportunities to timely respond to the public records request at issue. It failed four times. It must not now be permitted to rely on the legal authority that it failed to assert. What does that mean? Metro cannot now, when it didn't timely respond to any of our requests, claim the statutory exception for confidentiality. It can, however, claim confidentiality, at which point the Donray balancing test or perhaps the CCSD new burden shifting test would apply. But it does not now, when not complying with a mandatory time and manner provision in the statute, get to assert confidentiality.
But just to that point, if you seek to, if the confidentiality statute, let's say 62H, they didn't say it soon enough, do we really punish Metro if we release some juvenile stuff because Metro didn't act timely? Like that would seem, if we adopted such a rule, you know, what do they care? It's not their information. It's somebody else's private, confidential information that's going to be disclosed. How do we just have a waiver and we just go, oh, well, they waived it?
Well, two reasons. One, you still have the balancing of the interests. And if indeed the non-trivial personal privacy interest trumps the public interest, then there is a safety valve potentially there. The other issue is, this provision was written into statute. At what point does someone make them comply with what is in there? You know, our case law says that you cannot render any part of a statute meaningless. And time and time and time again, we see that the time and manner requirement of 5 days, and again, all you have to do in 5 days is just respond. Say, hey, we need more time. It's not you have to produce everything in 5 days. The requirement is really not very onerous. And yet, time and time and time again, we see that it is not complied with.
Isn't there a remedy, though, when they don't? In the form of attorney's fees and costs that they force the requester to go to?
Attorney's fees and costs are provided to the prevailing party regardless of whether or not there is a timely response. The statute says that the remedy is if a record is denied, then you have the opportunity to go to court and seek an order. There is no remedy provided for if they fail to timely comply. And we believe it is this court's job to look and interpret the statute and the time and manner requirement that exists there such that it is finally complied with. I would like to reserve the rest of my time, please.
Okay, Ms. McCrary, thank you very much. Ms. Nichols?
Thank you. Good afternoon. May it please the court, Jackie Nichols on behalf of the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. I'd like to address some of the questions that you've asked my colleague. Justice Siglich, as far as what was the point of Judge Early's review of the body cam footage, if you look at the record, initially, Counsel Faraga brought a motion for attorney's eyes only. And that was the entire purpose of Judge Early reviewing the camera, is that her concern that maybe then Senator, now Attorney General Ford, may have made comments that fell outside of the juvenile justice information. And if you look at her, the findings of fact and conclusions of law in this case, it specifically says, all communications at the scene, including ones involving Senator Aaron Ford, are directly related to the juvenile incident and the juvenile justice process as a result of the incident. And so, based off of that finding of the court, the motion that was initially brought by Raga, my interpretation would be that Judge Early was specifically looking for exactly what was brought to the attention by Raga's counsel, is if there was any sort of use of his position at the time in communications with the officers. Justice Hardy, you had a question regarding the definition of juvenile justice information and how do we interpret that? It seems to be extremely broad, especially in conjunction with the Public Records Act. I think that you would have to interpret the juvenile justice information definition under NRS 62H.205 in conjunction with the Act in its entirety. And I pointed this out in my response brief. If you look at 62C.010, it talks about the custody of a juvenile and the custody of a juvenile by a peace officer and what has to be done from the moment that happens. And that includes having a phone call with the parent, and then once the juvenile is transported to a facility, as we have indicated in this case, the juveniles were in fact transported to juvenile hall. Juvenile hall, as the facility, then has an obligation to also inform the parents if the peace officer was not able to, and then either release the juveniles to the parent with a written agreement saying that the juveniles are going to return to juvenile court on a date and time, or the juvenile court could otherwise order the juveniles not to be released. And so when you're reading the Act in its entirety from the very beginning of a juvenile's interaction from custody all the way through the adjudication process, if it gets through the adjudication process, there could be an instance where there's informal supervision, and that's also provided under 62C. All of that falls under the purview of juvenile justice information. And I think you have to take a step back and look at what is the purpose, right? My colleague even admitted that we don't want information about juveniles to be held over the head for the rest of their lives. And I understand that what RAGA is seeking here is in relation to a public official, but based off of the findings of the court, and after a review of the body cam footage, and I would say that we also provided a privilege log. So while I understand that my colleague has not had the opportunity to review the body cam footage specifically, we did provide a privilege log of the videos that were provided to the court and outlined by minutes when Attorney General Ford was involved and what else was depicted in that scene. That privilege log is found at Joint Appendix 258 to 259, and it talks about the arrest of the juveniles, discussion about the juvenile process, discussions with the victim. Judge Early also found that the videos were all located at the scene, and so this notion about redaction, the entire videos would have to be redacted. It's all related to juvenile justice information because it's about the crimes that were committed by the juveniles, it's discussion with the victim, it's located at the specific scene, and so all of that, the video in its entirety, would fall subject to the juvenile justice information.
Ms. Nichols, this may seem like a odd question, but I think it's created by the statutes. The production of documents is different than the inspection of documents. And 289.830 makes reference to inspection of body cam footage. Why couldn't the appellant in this case be afforded the opportunity to inspect?
Sure. So first, I understand that NRS 289...
It seems like the body cam statute in that respect is at odds with the Open Records Act statute. And I couldn't ask that question very artfully and maybe still haven't done so when I asked it of Ms. McCarty, but I was trying to hone in on the point that there is a difference between production and inspection.
There absolutely is a difference, but the Public Records Act does provide for either or. So the Public Records Act is not limited to production, but does allow a requester to request production or inspection. Mm-hmm. And I think inspection comes into play when you're dealing with records that have portions of confidential information, especially body cam footage, based off of the difficult nature in redacting body cam footage, again, at a frame-by-frame level, you're talking about audio and video. And that's why the NRS 289.830 recommends or provides for inspection if it contains some confidential information. It doesn't say that inspection is appropriate when a record is deemed confidential. And under NRS 62H.025, that record is deemed confidential. That's exactly what it says. It says juvenile justice information is confidential. And so if we're going to allow inspection of a record that's entirely confidential, I think you're kind of bypassing the purpose of the Juvenile Justice Act and that particular provision.
So let's take this hypothetical, and I don't want to offer by asking these hypothetical questions that they reflect what is actually on any of this body cam footage, but let me ask this hypothetical. Suppose that a part of the film or some body cam footage shows an interaction between Senator Ford and a police officer. There are no juveniles in the picture. The conversation between the two has no relationship to the crime or any of those or any of the assertions that were made about the juveniles. Would that be produced? Is that subject to inspection?
I would agree, yes, it would be. That particular part of the video, as you just described it, would be subject to disclosure because it is not protected under juvenile justice information. There's no juveniles involved. And if it has nothing to do, the discussion between the officer and the individual have nothing to do with juvenile justice information, then it's not protected.
So what? Well, I guess what you're saying is that the district court's review of the body cam footage and its findings indicated that all of that footage created a circumstance in which juveniles or juvenile information was going to be disclosed, all of it.
That's correct.
So let me go one step further. The in-camera review by the court was related to the body cam footage. But I understand the request made by appellants for the records was all records. It's rather broad. It's broader than just body cam footage. Did the district court review any other record other than the body cam footage?
The district court did not.
And I don't think that the judge's order addresses any other records either.
I would agree with you. I think the it's limited to the body cam footage. And I think that is based on the representations during the hearing. And the transcript can be found. At 316 through 348 of the appendix. And if you look at that transcript, essentially what happened at the hearing was Ms. McCarty essentially said that she didn't want anything related to juveniles. And I think she has said that today. And so the only records that pertain that involve Senator Ford would be the body cam footage, which is why that was the focus at the lower court. So when you're talking about
You're not suggesting that Ms. McCarty waived her right to request or seek other records beyond body cam footage by this citation, are you?
We did argue that in our response brief, that she did waive that because her focus was solely on the body cam footage and anything as it relates to Senator Ford. Mm-hmm. And I had in the first hearing on the motion regarding the body cam footage for in-camera review, we discussed that the records being sought do not pertain to Senator Ford. The way that the public records requests are submitted is as if the incident relates to Senator Ford, and it's not. The incident relates to juveniles. If you were to look at the incident under the department's databases, you could not search by Senator Ford. You would have to search by the event number or the juvenile's names. So the event itself is not related to Senator Ford.
Well, did you ever provide a response to Ms. McCarty or her client that there are no records other than the body cam footage that relate to Senator Ford?
In our response brief, in our response brief to the lower court, when we were applying 62H.205, that was our 025, that was our argument, is that this involves strictly juveniles, and the only thing that relates to...
The response I'm asking for is the response you're required to provide under the Open Records Act.
So the initial response by the department?
Yes, ma'am.
No, and that is because their records requests were submitted on a body cam footage request. If you look at their public records request at... the first one is at page 20 of the appendix. The second one is at 25 to 26. The third one is at 35 to 36. They put it on a form that's provided by the department, and it specifically says public records request for body-worn camera footage. And it identifies what information you need to provide in that box. And at this time, when this public record request was submitted, body cam footage was a completely separate division, and they would only handle body-worn camera footage requests. So for public records requests, for actual documentation, would at that point go to the public information office for actual records.
Well, I understand your procedures, but and maybe they used the wrong form or needed something else, but didn't they include the language and other records besides body cam footage?
The response by the...
I mean, I don't have the record documents that you mentioned in front of me, but I've got a representation here that it included more than just that.
So on page 41, Joint Appendix 41, it's the department's response that research shows that the investigation involved juvenile suspects. Therefore, because it involves juveniles arrested, our Office of General Counsel has determined that it is confidential pursuant to NRS 62H.205. That was the response provided.
Okay. But coming back to my earlier request, even though they used the form for body camera footage as their request, did they include language on that form that requested other documents beyond body cam footage?
They did.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right. Thank you.
I don't have anything further unless there's questions from the court.
How do you respond to appellant's arguments regarding waiver?
It's our position at the time that the Public Records Act, let me rephrase that. The Public Records Act that was in place at the time that these public records requests came through, the remedy is court intervention. A non-response to a public records request is an effective denial, and they could have sought court intervention. And it is also our position that that goes towards the good faith argument in relation to damages under the immunity provision of NRS 239.012.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Nichols. Ms. McCarty?
Thank you, Justice. Opposing counsel suggests that the entirety of the video is somehow a juvenile justice record because it shows the area where an event occurred and there were discussions about what may have occurred. again, when we talk about the public policy of keeping juvenile justice information confidential, it is not to prevent someone's house from being disclosed. It is not to prevent an understanding of how the juvenile justice system works. It is not to prevent discussion regarding a particular type of crime. It is to protect the identities of the juveniles so that these mistakes don't haunt them forever. And to expand 62H to the degree that the Metropolitan Police Department suggests is way, way too broad.
Ms. McCarty, how do we deal with the court's order? And that's at Joint Appendix 352, where it's clear the court looked for Senator Ford in the video, per your request, and said all communications at the scene, including the ones involving Senator Ford, are directly related to the juvenile incident and the juvenile justice process as a result of the incident. Therefore, they find it's all directly related. So what could they give you? A video that has the sound blank out, just him at the scene? I mean, it seems like the court kind of went through the process of trying to parse out, trying to see, is there something I can give you or can it be redacted? And it seems like the court concluded the opposite, or they concluded that it can't. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It is our position that there is an opportunity for redaction here. Yes, the identities of the juvenile can be redacted and blurred out. Yes, their names can be redacted and blurred out. To the extent that the court did not undertake that analysis, and indeed there is no discussion about that analysis in the court's order, we suggest that it is proper public policy that such an analysis must occur. The NPRA demands that such an analysis occur. It says expressly that a record cannot be withheld on the basis of confidentiality if the confidential information can be redacted. Additionally, I wanted to point out that we have not received the records as you addressed. Again, it was a blanket. All of these records are subject to a juvenile justice incident. We would submit that if there are names of juveniles or identities of juveniles, those can also easily be redacted and should be. Thank you for your consideration today, unless you have any other questions.
I don't think so, Ms. McCarty. You both have